Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
We've hit the big 3-0 of Dudes on Hockey. That is episode 30. And we have to start the show.
With what?
You know what time it is. It's Lemieux Watch 2009!
Dude, the day has finally arrived. We've called this for months.
There were several non-believers, dude.
Several. I'd say hundreds or thousands of non-believers. And yet, the Sharks called up Claude Lemieux, and he played tonight.
He played 7 minutes tonight.
7 minutes tonight.
Three shots on goal.
That's pretty good.
And he hammered somebody. I couldn't see who it was, but on his second shift, he just blew somebody up right on the glass. What'd you think, Mike?
I like it. I mean, the question is, can he keep it up? Because the great thing about Claude Lemieux, and I was texting a friend of mine during the game about this, is that he can keep up speed-wise. That's not really the problem.
He had a great shot coming down the right-hand side. He almost scored.
He did. You know, and Jody Shelley got like a breakaway almost, kind of like a little mini breakaway in tight, and part of that was due to Claude Lemieux. The thing about Claude Lemieux is, you know, he's a fourth liner. He's not like the top skill guy, but when he gets the puck, he's not afraid to make a play. And when you get a guy like Kavanaugh or McGinn or Staubitz, they're going to be more concerned about not making the mistake. You know, fourth line, they don't want their ice time taken away. They just want to make sure they do the right smart thing. But you know what? Lemieux's going to sit there and he's going to try to make something happen. And he did a couple of times and it worked out. He has that judgment, that experience that those other guys that got sent back down to the minors don't have. And it's only going to make the team better. I'm happy. I'm real thrilled with the way he played tonight.
As we're walking out of the game tonight, we missed what eventually was a mini scrum in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
As we're leaving and the Sharks just totally stole the game from the Vancouver Canucks, who probably are still standing on the ice wondering what the hell happened to them. But my favorite part is you look up on the Jumbotron and there's all these players sort of milling around, and who's in the middle of it?
Claude Lemieux. Yeah. And he's
in his first game back.
He's attached to a guy, you know, getting a guy, holding on to a guy, make sure he doesn't get into the brawl. There's some other Sharks involved in the little scuffle there at the end, but Lemieux made sure he was part of it.
Absolutely. Dude, I want you to close your eyes, and Dudes on Hockey listeners, do me a favor. Close your eyes for a second, unless you're driving. If you're driving, pull over and close your eyes. I want you to imagine Thomas Pleahall sitting in the press box and Jeremy Roenick on that line with Jody Shelley and Claude Lemieux, Mike.
We've talked about this before. It's a fourth line that is not your normal fourth line.
It's very exciting.
Right.
And tonight, you know, even though the game was, it was almost like the Minnesota Wild showed up and put Vancouver Canuck jerseys on.
Yeah, yeah.
And lulled the Sharks to sleep. And the Sharks looked tired at times trying to break through this system. You were explaining to me during the game what they were playing.
They were playing, for a while there, they were playing a really shallow 1-2-2, which means they have one forechecker, and then they have sort of two levels of, and they have two levels of guys behind that. And then later in the game, they started playing a 1-4, and Dan Ruzanowski said on the post game, late in the third, they were playing a 0-5. Like, they just put all five guys in the neutral zone and just waited for the puck to get to them. And it confounded the Sharks for a good part of the game.
59 minutes it worked.
Yeah, 59 minutes it worked, and then the Sharks finally said, screw it. We're going to try it and do whatever we can to score. They pull Navi, you know, and they put all five guys in the crease in that final play, the tying play that Setoguchi had. They had literally all five guys within 10 feet of the cage. Joe kicks it out, puts a little soft little pass right through the middle of the blue. It kicks out to Setoguchi, who's probably 20 feet out, and he just rips one. And Luongo can't get over in time. So, and then in overtime, they take a dumb penalty, and the Sharks capitalize on the power play.
Vancouver had zero shots in the overtime. They looked stunned when they choked the game away. They had no shot. And I think the whole building could feel the momentum had just completely swung, and the Sharks were going to come out with 2 points, and this is why you have to believe that there's something special going on this year, and you got to look back at Saturday's game as another marker. Is that this is a special season?
Yeah, we're gonna get to the Detroit and Calgary games because both of those deserve some discussion. But I do want to get to an email real quick. Our buddy Chris from Boston did take the time to email us back after we posed a question to him in the last show, and for that I thank you very much, Chris. He is in fact a Bruins fan living in Boston. There's no shame in that.
Absolutely not.
But he did have one question. All the talk we mentioned last week, I sort of paraphrased Animal Farm, and said we love all the Sharks, but
same
thing,
Mike.
We just love them all equally. And Chris asked, you know, which are our personal favorite Sharks? And Chris's personal favorite are, he said he likes sort of the more blue collar type players. He likes Pavelski, Lukowich, and Roenick. And so now, you've mentioned on the blog, sharks.hockeyanalysis.com, that you might be getting a C. Lemieux on the back of your new Sharks jersey. So my question to you is Claude Lemieux now one of your favorite three Sharks?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Now, I said when we predicted that Mr. Lemieux would be joining the Sharks after he was on the China Sharks, and we said, you know, this smells of something here at Dudes on Hockey, and it's not Mike after eating chili.
Right.
And I said I'd put Lemieux on the back of my jersey when he made it, and I'm going to live up to that statement. If he's still on the team when we are in the playoffs, I'm going to get that Lemieux on the back of my jersey. But I can't put him in my top three yet. I'm going to steal your number one, Mike,
okay,
because I know both of our favorite Shark,
yes,
is Dan Boyle.
Absolutely.
And there's nothing not to love about this guy.
Yeah. I mean, I love the way he plays. I just love it. I'm a defenseman in my beer league hockey team. I've been a defenseman ever since I started playing hockey, and I only wish I could be a tenth as good as Dan Boyle. The way he head fakes every time he's down the ice, he fakes people out every time he has the puck, and his skating is so fluid. He can do whatever he wants. You see him do these 360s, like these backhand spinorama 360s, just to hold on to the puck and fake somebody out. Just like that's normal, and you don't see anybody else in the NHL do that. And if I didn't pick Dan Boyle, I'd be a freaking idiot. Dan Boyle's the best.
All right, my number two.
Yeah,
Derek Jocelyn. I'm just kidding. Can you guess my second?
Jody Shelley.
That's right, yeah. Jody Shelley. I love Jody Shelley. Yeah. I love enforcers. I always have.
Yeah.
I love Scott Parker when he's here. I know they're not the most skilled. There's just something about big brother Jody Shelley on the bench and watching him take those long strides like Jaws out there on the ice and really getting in people's faces. And even though he only plays about 5 or 6 minutes, I dig Jody Shelley. Who's your number two, Mike?
I'm going a little, I'm not going real imaginative here. I'm going to have to go with Joe Thornton because the way he protects the puck and the way he plays, and I love how he gets that edge sometimes and he gets a little mad and he's not afraid to get physical. And we've seen him drop the gloves this year. Jumbo is the man.
MVP season again this year, maybe?
No, because he's so far behind in points. The way MVP seems to work is that you got to be... I think Mark Savard is a better shot than Joe right now.
Hmm.
But and Malkin, obviously, and Ovechkin. I think I'd put all those guys ahead in terms of likelihood of actually winning the trophy. I just don't see enough of those games to really say that those guys are the MVPs or not. But I just say right now, there's no way Joe's going to win the trophy if the standings continue the way they go. So what's your number three?
Ryan Clough.
Okay, Ryan Clough.
Ryan Clough.
Leader of the Sharks in power play goals.
He's just a monster.
He is.
He... completely dominates the game when he's in the crease. He's immovable. He's totally dominant on the power play. He's a physical presence. He has evolved into the power forward that the ghost of Steve Bernier was supposed to be.
That's right.
And, you know, and this is jumping ahead a little bit. I know we've got a question about the Sharks' future coming up here, but you know, he's an integral part of what's happening with this team.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be interesting to see what happens because
he's
unsigned.
That's right. Although he is a restricted free agent. But we will get to that later in the show. My number three is, I was sort of going over the roster in my mind. My number three is also a monster, but a different kind of monster. And he's a defensive monster, and that's Doug Murray.
Nice.
I like Doug Murray. And he's not the most skilled player out there. He's not the best skater, but he has 240 or 250 pounds of muscle. The kid is just ripped to shreds. He's a huge guy, and he's willing to use that to his advantage all the time. He does that little play where he has the puck, a guy's about to run him down, he just tosses the puck away from himself and then proactively hits the guy and knocks him into next week. He does it all the time and it works. I just love that play. I love the way he plays, and you know, him paired with Boyle, frankly, is a pretty decent pairing right now.
It's more than decent.
Now that we've seen Errorhoff, unfortunately, really fade here in as of late, but I love Doug Murray. So he's another defenseman I could never play like because I'm not nearly big enough, but it's great. Those are sort of the two extremes, Boyle and Murray, and I love them both. So
it's a good call.
Good call. Okay. So Vancouver, in terms of outside the one goal that Vancouver got in the last 45 seconds of the game, there's not really much to talk about. I mean, both teams were just sort of not giving up any offensive chances and just being more or less offensively frustrated until the Sharks just decided, hey, we got to get a goal here and win the game, and that was pretty much it. Any other notes from Vancouver tonight, dude?
I mean, they had in the first period and in the second period occasionally, they got a real good, deep, low cycle going. And as we've talked about before, that seems to be the way that St. Louis and Columbus has really given the Sharks fits. And Vancouver, even though they weren't able to really capitalize on some of those chances, the Sedins had some vicious low cycle. They had one with Sundin that was, I thought for sure was going to result in a goal. It didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But dangerous and definitely seems to be the Sharks' Achilles heel.
It was, although I think they played the cycle pretty well. Maybe they, you know, played a little bit more passively than they should, but the fact is that I don't think there were, maybe that one time with Sundin, they had a decent scoring chance, but with that one Sedin cycle that seemed to last forever, they didn't get a single scoring chance out of it. They just cycled and cycled and cycled and cycled, and then Vlasic played perfect, and you know, everybody sort of played their position perfect, and they eventually just coughed it up, and the Sharks got it out. So yeah, it's not great to have the puck in your own end for a minute and a half, but there was no, like, super danger, like, open puck in the crease, that kind of stuff. It was just more like, in the corner, okay, give it to the next guy, okay, give it to the next guy, and so on. So, not so bad. But let's get to Detroit, because Jeremy Roenick was on AHL Live today on the radio, and he said it might have been the best game that he's seen in the last 5 years. In terms of Detroit, and
interesting,
I thought that was a pretty bold statement because JR's seen some hockey in the last 5 years, but there's certainly no question it was the game, my pick of game of the year, the best game of the year. Is it the best game the Sharks have played this year? No, but it certainly was the most fun to watch, the most entertaining game. It had everything. It was good flow, not a lot of penalties. Good goaltending, although there were a lot of goals, a lot of end-to-end action. I mean, this game had everything. The two best teams in the NHL, what more could you want?
The Sharks, really, common logic would have said without Blake, without Luka, without JR, without Mitchell, that they were going to drop this game.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, something about how they bounced back after a loss, a tough loss to Calgary, that, you know, they played with a lot of heart. They didn't quit. And they kept up with Detroit, and then they passed him in the end. And, you know, what do you think about Chris Osgood, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the one Achilles heel if they have it. Some nights he plays great, but other nights he doesn't play so great. You know, he had some good saves there, but unfortunately, two breakaways late in the third, and Osgood came up empty on both, and that was the difference maker in the game.
So if he's struggling, how excited would you be to see Ty Conklin in net?
I'd be pretty excited.
In a playoff series, I'd be pretty excited. I remember that Edmonton debacle with Ty Conklin.
Yeah, yeah.
And that guy is not a big game goalie at all. So,
I mean, is this finally the time they're going to bring up Jimmy Howard? Who knows? I mean, he was a first or second round pick, but yet he's never seemed to be able to crack the lineup. But yeah, the Detroit game I thought was great. I just... you couldn't say enough good things about it, and it had a real playoff feel in the tank. You know, the fans were going crazy about it, and I can only hope we get a game almost as good the rest of the year until the playoffs. And you know, I met up with a friend of mine at the game tonight, and he's a Red Wings fan, unfortunately, but he said, you know, how awesome would it be to see these two teams play? And he likes the Sharks too, but he's a Red Wings fan first. And he said, you know, for me, that's a win-win. And the Sharks fans have to be hoping for that series. I mean, because it's just going to be great hockey. It's going to be great hockey. No matter who wins the series, it's going to be great hockey.
I don't think a cup win would feel complete unless we went through them.
That's absolutely true.
Because there would always be that excuse, well, you didn't go through the Red Wings. Mm-hmm. You know, if you went through the Wild and then Vancouver and then you beat
Calgary
at the end. Mm-hmm. You know, I just don't think it would be the same. I almost would rather have to beat the Ducks and then beat the Wings to get there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But speaking of Calgary, that was a game that the Sharks dropped at home. The first regulation loss by the Sharks at home this year didn't even happen in the first 3 months of the season. And the first one is the current leader of the Northwest Division, the Calgary Flames. And to be perfectly honest with you, I had to watch that game on TiVo. I wasn't able to go, but I don't think the Sharks played that bad, to be honest.
No. Calgary's been playing well. They've really pulled away in that division.
Yeah, they were on a big streak.
Yeah, I mean,
it sucked that we lost to them twice in a row. That really sucks.
Yeah, I'm not that concerned about it. I don't know. Maybe I'm being naive, but I just don't think that Calgary's gonna have the horses in the end to really compete with the Sharks in a 7-game playoff series. But I give them credit. I mean, they weren't cheap wins. They earned them.
Yes,
Calgary played great. I'm not discrediting the Flames. And now, you know, they're 7 points ahead of Edmonton and Vancouver, and they're only, 10 points behind us. They've got 58 points.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So, yeah, Calgary's a team to keep an eye on and see, you know, if they're going to add any pieces to the puzzle as we get closer to the trade deadline.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, Calgary I think they're better this year than they were last year. So they may give us a little bit more. I mean, they took us to 7 games last year, but the Sharks are clearly better this year.
Any team with Todd Bertuzzi, that's not a winning formula.
He didn't even play. He didn't play though, and they won. So maybe they'll scratch him for the playoffs.
Is that the key?
That's the difference.
What about Curtis McElhinney?
What about Glenn Cross? He's actually pretty good.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it will. They're not first on my list of teams that I would like to play.
No.
I'd much rather see the Ducks and Flames go in the first round and then have to face one of them on the way out.
That could be nice.
You know, it certainly looks like it's going to be Sharks winning the Pacific and Detroit winning their division and then Calgary winning the Northwest.
Right.
So that would be 1-2-3 somewhere in there, and then the rest will fall where they may. I mean, can you imagine a Chicago-Anaheim 4-5?
Right now, it's Chicago and Phoenix.
That's not going to last.
Maybe not.
No.
They beat Detroit tonight, but that's interesting. But let's get to the...
quick note on that, dude. Hmm. Did you see that Brad Stewart and Pavel Datsyuk both injured in the game against Phoenix tonight?
No kidding.
Yep. Looks like they're saying Datsyuk looks like he is out for the All-Star game.
Oh, okay.
So,
Might be another...
Sharks might have caught a little mini break there.
That's right. Let's get to the emails, because we do have several emails this week, and the email address is questions@dudesonhockey.com. Feel free to email us with any comments or questions you have on the show, anything you want us to answer. Our friend Scott from San Jose emailed a statistics type of question, which is one that I always like. And
let you take this one, dude.
I took it. And he says, as I sit and marvel at the incredible home record of the Sharks, I'm wondering how many of the teams we have played at HP Pavilion saw us on the tail end of back-to-back games. It seems like we always hear that the teams play the Ducks or the Kings the night before they play the Sharks. So here are his questions. One, how many times have the Sharks played teams on the second night of back-to-back games? Well, I did all of this research, and it was a real pain. So, Scott, I blame you. You owe me. But I did all this kind of stuff. And I did a total compilation. The Sharks have faced... 8 back-to-backs, and they have faced 13 teams on the tail end of a back-to-back. So that's a lot. So I think the average is probably 8 or 9 games for teams to have back-to-back, and the Sharks have faced 13. So
yeah.
So the Sharks are 11-1-1 against those opponents. That's it's a big long list, but LA and Anaheim, Dallas, Detroit, Edmonton, and so on. But yeah, Sharks are 11-1-1, so they're definitely taking advantage of that.
Thank you, NHL scheduling team.
That's right. That's right. And so Scott's second question is, how many more times will this happen the rest of the season? It'll actually happen 8 more times.
Love it.
So that's a lot. I think the Sharks definitely have been the beneficiary of some scheduling here. Anaheim, Columbus, Edmonton, Los Angeles twice we face for them on the tail end of back-to-backs. Montreal, Nashville, and Vancouver. So 8 more times, and actually the winning percentage of teams overall on the second end of a back-to-back is worse than the average of the NHL. So teams average in the NHL about 1.1 points per game, and for teams on the second half of a back-to-back, it's about 1.02 points per game. So it's about 10% worse on the second half of a back-to-back. So the Sharks are all those numbers. What does that mean? It means the Sharks got lucky.
Thank you, nerdy statistics man.
Yes, I try. I had a lot of fun with that.
But, nicely done.
So I think, yeah, the Sharks have definitely benefited from that. There's no question about it. And they will continue to benefit the rest of the season, which is awesome. Although the Sharks are about in the middle of the pack in terms of the number of back-to-backs that they play. Some teams are very low in that regard. Toronto being the best. What a shock. But and some teams getting, unfortunately, hosed. But the Sharks are sort of right in the middle of the pack with that. So
quickly, Mike, what's the square root of Claude Lemieux?
It's a 6.
No. Wrong. It's Brad Staubitz.
Brad Staubitz. Damn. Anyway, so I hope you enjoyed that wonderful rush of numbers, dudes on hockey listeners. Okay. Let's get to the last email that I think you have, dudes.
So, I do. This is from Joel. Thank you, Dune. Joel is asking about some of our upcoming free agents that are happening here. Great players such as Klo, Greer, Blake, and Roenick are becoming free agents next year, and Marlow, Pav, Seto, and Nabby are up the following year. Is this season the Sharks' only chance for a cup, or are they set up for the next few years?
Dude,
this is a really good question. And we've talked a little bit about it earlier this year. But there's some really tough decisions that are going to have to be made this offseason. But you've got to believe, just seeing what Doug Wilson's done this year, that he's already thought this out. I think he's got a plan in place. And for me, number one priority, no-brainer, re-sign Ryan Klo.
Absolutely.
That has to happen. And I think it's going to happen. And it would not shock me if it happened during the year. Mm-hmm. Unless he's really set on testing the market, although he is restricted.
Right.
So that's going to limit a little bit of his ability to, the Sharks can match whatever is out there. But you got to believe that he's going to get Ryan Malone type money. And Ryan Malone got $4.5 million this year. Mm-hmm. Is Ryan Klo in Ryan Malone's ballpark? Yeah. He's better. He's a better player. And, you know, a team like Toronto, Atlanta, Nashville, LA, teams with a ton of cap room, if Wilson lets him get to that point, they might throw $5 million around, and that's when the Sharks might have to walk away.
That's right. I looked it up, actually. And the amount of compensation you get for restricted free agents depends on the amount of money that you're paying them. And around $5 million, that means the Sharks get a first, a second, and a third round pick from that team. So teams will have to think twice about making that offer, because not only will they have to pay the money, they'll also have to pay the draft picks. And, you know, if you're offered a first, a second, and a third round, that's a lot of picks.
Now, is that in the immediate year?
I think it's as soon as they can do it. It might just be their next first round, their next
second
round.
So it would be in 2010.
Somewhere. Yeah.
So it wouldn't be like if the Kings signed Ryan Klo, they wouldn't have to give up their number 3 or 4 pick in that year's draft.
Well, the draft would have already taken place. Because
okay, so it would be for the next year.
After, so it would be
so you know, I would be really surprised if it got to that point. I think Wilson will close proved that he can be healthy. He's producing at an all-time career high. He's going to be signed. Second thing I would do is, and I think this will happen, is they're going to re-sign Torrey Mitchell on the cheap. The injury this year actually might have helped the Sharks' salary cap situation. 2 years, $2 million-ish, you know, get him in the fold. He'll still be restricted. Right. Sort of what they did with Pavelski.
That's right.
And
Klo, frankly.
Right. And then the third biggest question, Joel, I think as far as the salary cap situation, this would impact Rob Blake coming back. Is Nick Petrecki ready for the NHL next year?
That's to be determined. I would say, you know, I've only seen one game of the guy, so I'm not exactly like the lead scout here. But I would say you give him another year, especially if Blake, if it's possible to sign Blake. And one thing that maybe you're going to mention in it soon, dude, that I would be quick to mention is that Doug Wilson has a way of signing guys for less money than they would get on the open market. And so that's something we sort of need to factor in. And that's the way the Sharks hold on to players, is they sell them on the city and they sell them on the franchise. I mean, Joe would have gotten $10 million last year if he was unrestricted, but he chose to sign for what he knew at the time was under market value, and Patrick Marleau did the same thing. So I have every expectation that Doug Wilson can do that for these players that we're talking about. And maybe Blake will want to stick around for 2.5. And if that's the case, we may see Blake here too.
That'd be great. Yeah, Klo, 5 years, $20 million. That's $4 million. He's got 5 years of security. That could work. I mean, you could see something like that happening. The Sharks are going to have about $10 million of cap room. So then if they keep Klo at $4 million, they've got Mitchell in, you know, at around $1 million. That's $5 million left to fill several roster spots. I think McGinn is going to be on the team next year as a full-time player. He's making about $1 million. Boucher will probably be gone. Grice probably deserves the opportunity to show whether he's going to be the future goalie in San Jose, or Nabokov is going to need to be re-signed. That's a major question, as Joel brought up. I don't think those will be addressed just yet.
But let's answer the overall question that Joel posed. Is this a team that's going to be, that has sort of 1 or 2 year shot?
The presence of Claude Lemieux in the lineup tonight tells me that they have pushed the chips in and they're going for it.
They're going for it.
Yeah. Sharks ownership has never been one to spend all the way to the cap, ever, mm-hmm. ever. And this year they are. And I can't believe that that's going to happen year after year after year. It's just not going to happen. So, yes, I think that this is our window of opportunity is not limited to this year, but I think the Sharks are going to do everything they can to win now.
That's right. That's right. I totally agree with that. But I don't think that the Sharks are going to sort of pack it in a couple years and just say, yeah, that's it. I think they're going to try. If they can re-sign Joe in a couple years, they will. If they can re-sign Patty, they will. I don't think they're just going to automatically let those guys go. The big question to me is the guy they might re-sign or not is Nabokov. That, because the Sharks are great at drafting goaltenders. That may be the biggest question. I think you re-sign Joe if you can. So that's just my pick. But we'll be talking about that more.
Yeah, certainly, oddly enough, Nabokov might be the odd man out in that situation.
Odd man out. So we'll be talking about all this stuff, and I'm sure in our off season shows, because we love talking about caps and all that kind of stuff. So, but let's get to the last segment of the show, which is second half predictions. We're at the All-Star break. It should be noted that Patrick Marleau is going to the All-Star game, although he didn't get voted in and wasn't originally picked. We're not sure exactly who he's going to be replacing. I guess now
could be Pavel Datsyuk.
Now we know it's at least going to be Pavel Datsyuk, and it could be others. And Rick Nash has been thrown around. We don't know exactly who's going to be missing, but we know Patrick Marleau will be there. So all the props to Patty, who definitely is probably the top guy who deserves it that didn't get in on the initial roster choices. But second half predictions, dude, what do you got for second half predictions? Sharks, NHL as a whole, what are we doing here?
I think NHL as a whole and the Sharks.
Okay.
I'm going to say that the Sharks will get the number one seed in the West.
Okay.
Not too much of a stretch there.
You predicting President's Trophy?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm also predicting, as I did in the preseason show, Columbus Blue Jackets will make the playoffs.
All right.
Dude, Vancouver will not.
Wow. No way. You're crazy. You're absolutely nuts.
Dude. Let me do my predictions.
Okay, do your predictions, dude. Sorry.
Dude, I'm going to say that Detroit is going to get an impact player at the deadline. Someone like Keith Tkachuk.
Oh my God, really? Ouch.
I think they're going to add a piece, something to counter what the Sharks have been doing. And I think it'll be someone like that. And they don't need anybody in the blue line. I think they're going to add another forward, someone to really give us fits, and looking at who will be available, who would be worse than that to add to that team?
Yeah, I mean, the other guys that have been bandied about, Doug Weight, Bill Guerin.
Who cares?
Who cares? But yeah, Keith Tkachuk could be a real pain. I'd hate that.
Despite their recent win streak, I'm going to say the Phoenix Coyotes are going to be sellers.
Oh, they're going to sell. Well, they're in terrible financial straits, so.
But how can you do that if you're currently the fifth seed? They're still going to sell. That's what I think. I think it's going to be hard to explain to their fan base, but Jokinen, Jovanovski, those are the two guys that could be gone. Doan has said that he won't leave and will not, you know, waive his no trade. So we'll see. And my final prediction, dude, is that the New York Islanders will finish with the worst record in the NHL and trade their number one pick for JP Dumont.
Way to go out on a limb with that first part, dude. Good job. I'm going to go. I got a couple crazy. My one crazy prediction is that Boston is not going to be the number one seed in the East.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's dude. My prediction. I'm predicting Washington.
Dude.
I know. I'm going crazy.
Okay.
I'm going off. That's my number one crazy prediction. I think Phoenix is going to make the playoffs. And I think Columbus is going to be out. So I disagree with you there. But that's sort of my craziest prediction. I don't really have another one. I think Bomeister is going to go to a team that none of us expect. And we're going to go, what? I think Florida's going to make a bad deal there. And Bomeister is going to go to some wacky team that may be like an eighth seed. He's not going to help. And then he's just going to go to Toronto or something in the offseason. That's my prediction with Bomeister. Well, anyway, send us your predictions, fans of Dudes on Hockey, and we'll be happy to read them on the air and critique them and make fun of them, as Doug just made fun of my predictions.
Dude, so. I want to say one thing before we leave.
Okay.
Dude, you made fun of me for picking up Rich Peverly.
I did. He had a goal and an assist tonight.
That's right, dude. I want you to take it back.
I'm not taking it back. It's Rich Peverly, dude.
Dude, take it back. He was the number three star this week. I don't care if he was on the waiver wire, if Nashville gave him away for nothing. Rich Peverly, dude, is going to help me win this league.
Great pickup, dude.
Dude, I want you to take a look at the standings. Who's not in the cellar anymore?
Yeah, and who's ahead of me?
Who's climbing slowly up the ladder?
I know.
Ron Wilson's prostate.
Very good. Well, that does it for this week's Dudes on Hockey. Make sure to read the blog at sharks.hockeyanalysis.com, and you can tune in next week, same time, same place.
Rich Peverly for MVP.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.